CliffCentral.com.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country.
Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Grant, I need to make a critical business decision. We've been expanding rapidly, and my gut feel tells me that we should be investing for growth. But I need to put some financial science behind that gut feel of mine.
Don't you have a financial manager or director that can help you with that?
But isn't that rather expensive?
It doesn't have to be. Why don't you contact the finance team? They're a consultancy that can provide you with a part-time financial manager or director at a fraction of the cost of a full-time resource.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
Welcome to our Business Masterclass. I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Richard Angus. And the first half hour, we're talking business skills. And the theme is IT strategy for growing business, issues to consider. And I mean, IT is such a major part of our lives and certainly of business. And with us in the studio to help us make sense of it, and Richard will guide with some questions, David Alexander from IMI Mobile, but also an entrepreneur who's been running IT company for years. And I remember sitting in a meeting with you, David, thinking, gee, it seems like you know everything from all angles. You can talk about this kind of language and that kind of system. And so obviously a great deal of experience. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. So let's kick off this important conversation.
Thanks, Adrian. So, David, I think, you know, the thing that comes to mind, you know, the moment you say the word IT particularly in a small business, I think the first thing that most people, unless they are IT people or IT oriented individuals, the first thing that comes to mind is their eyes glaze over when they see the word IT anywhere, because they really struggle with the concept. And I think, you know, for me, IT has changed phenomenally over the years. I mean, let's go back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I'm talking 15, 20 years back. It was all about the, as we called it then, the box on the desk, and you know, the whole concept of, so I've got a box and I can use it to do certain things in my business. And it was really, you know, when we talked about an IT strategy, people would look at you and go, well, the IT strategy is to keep the box on the desk, make sure that it's secure and that what's on it stays on it and doesn't go anywhere else. Let's call it information security was big conversational points. And that was my IT strategy. I'm okay here. And I think, you know, that world has changed so. I mean, maybe as a starting point, let's just contrast, you know, kind of where IT was in terms of that IT strategy, and where it is now. I mean, you know, back in the day, as I say, it was all about the box. Nowadays, we don't even care about the box.
Certainly. And I think, you know, when people look at IT and they suddenly get scared of what they need to do, and how they're going to grow their business around the IT infrastructure. So looking at the IT strategy, I suppose it incorporates different aspects, and that includes the information that exists within your business. Mm-hmm. It incorporates the applications that run within your business, the applications that your customers use. How do we host those applications? Are they hosted on a box, as you say, on a desk or in a cloud? Mm. Also, how do all those applications integrate with each other, talk to each other, and how do we manage workflow management between them? And then lastly is the policies and the governance of that information to make sure that it's secure and only the right people are accessing it. Mm. So IT has changed significantly, and it's not as scary as it used to be. Mm. And I think for small businesses, I've helped many small businesses launch their IT platforms. And, you know, one of the examples is G Suite gives us amazing applications and very quick to market in terms of launching an email server. So you no longer need to have an email server on a box in your office. Everything can be run on the cloud, and you can have your own custom email address through G Suite.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, I mean, I guess the whole advent of cloud computing has really shifted the thinking of, let's call it, the IT world. And I mean, it's not unexpected that we'd have the cloud solution out there. But I think fundamentally, as an entrepreneur, you know, people's first questions around IT strategies and the use of the cloud is one of, well, hold on a second, where is this stuff? And you know, I've had a number of people that have always said to me, you know, like, do you, I mean, the words leave people's mouths. Do you trust the cloud? You know, and it's cloud with a big C because it's now, it's got its own, you know, it's like the internet is now big I. it's got its own, a life of its own. And, you know, people seem to, and I guess it is a generational thing. There are people out there that are very comfortable with the idea of, I have no idea where my data is. It's just there. And then there's people that are still on the day of, well, when I put it on my memory stick, I knew where it was. If I had it on my disk, on my computer, I knew where it was. Now it's left my machine and it's somewhere. Yeah. How do you deal with that? Let's call it conceptual space with businesses out there. I mean, what's your experience been? So how do you convince people this is a good thing?
The cloud providers are doing a lot of that work for us. So mm-hmm. they're creating an environment which is simple. Mm-hmm. They're creating an environment which is perceived to be secure.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as you say, it's a generational thing. I've not had any kickback around moving to the cloud. I don't think I've never deployed a physical server. Every bit of infrastructure we've done is based on a cloud. I have no idea where that information is, as long as I'm able to access it. And it comes with the benefits as well. So, you know, we've got the reliability of a cloud. We know that it will always be up most of the time. And, you know, we've also got the security. So I don't need to go through those stages of IT anymore, of understanding the security and protecting my data, because it's all managed by those providers. So I think the benefits of going cloud far outweigh any concerns about not knowing where that data is.
But it's the same as internet. I mean, where is things? Where are things? Bitcoin. You know, where's my money? You know, we're so used to banks and physical entities. So it is a bit of a conceptual, perceptional thing that we have to grow at. I guess in some ways we're a generation of I want to touch things before I believe in it. But in other ways we're becoming a generation where I'll believe in it, then I'm okay. You know, you just kind of believe in it.
Sure.
It's kind of a strange thing. I don't know if that makes sense. But
and I think there's also an element of, and I mean, I've experienced this, you know, we've seemed to have, and we have moved from a world where, you know, I remember sitting in risk committees where IT experts were presenting to other IT experts and the uninformed, being me, about, you know, this is what this backup looks like and this will have. I'll never forget the first time I learned what 5.9's backup was. And I was in a bank and somebody was talking, the 5.9's. I'm going, like, what are you talking about? And being me, I stuck up my hand. I said, I just need to understand, you know, a terminology. What is 5.9's? And they then explained the 99 to the exponent of 5 for permanent uptime kind of definitions.
I'm lost now.
So okay, let's not go there. But it was a technical term, and I realized I needed to know that term because I was helping manage risk in an organization that was very reliant on IT technology to deliver services, and so this, you know, back of my mind, important note, you need to know this and, you know, you better make sure that this is under control. And if this box is ticked, you're probably okay from a uptime support, sure, et cetera. That element then left my world when we got into cloud computing, because you don't ask your provider if they've got 5.9's availability and you don't have to worry about it because it's there. It's just like automatic in your world. And so a lot of the things that, you know, previously you needed to manage as part of your, let's call it your IT strategy in a business, and things you had to worry about, uptime, backups, all of these good things. I mean, I never forget the fight about how long should you keep a backup for. I mean, nowadays you don't even, that conversation doesn't even enter our conversations.
It's become a lot easier from that perspective. And you know, looking at the 5.9's, so that's no longer a question, as you say. We expect that from our service providers, from our cloud providers. The cost of us doing that infrastructure on our own to try and create it would be so high. Mm-hmm. And it's incorporated now within the cloud environment at a much less cost.
So
can I just quickly ask something? Sorry, Richard. Was there a time that IT was almost too arrogant? It almost feels like there was a time that IT ruled business because it was so unexplainable and such a world on its own. And you've got the CEO who now knows I've got to use IT, you know, for my business, but I actually don't understand what it's all about. The generational thing again. And we had the whole, it was a crash like in 2000. It's almost like things balanced back to normal from there on. And now it seems like IT knows its place in business. It's hell of important, but maybe it's also the fact that leaders have become more educated with regards to its role and the essences of it. So I've had to learn as a leader of a business about IT, about internet, about cloud, about, you know, you've just had to learn.
Correct. And I find that often as well with small businesses or guys that are starting up on businesses. Yes, they'll come to you for advice, but a lot of them have done the investigation already on how to launch certain things. So they'll use Wix, for example, which will allow them to launch a website simply, you know, without having any programming skills. So a lot of the guys that are starting out businesses, entrepreneurs, are starting to understand the importance of IT and the information's available and it's ready for them to use, and they can actually launch their businesses without the support of a major IT business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, years ago you had people who used to be professional word processors. They used to type documents, and you actually had to have somebody who knew how to use this thing called a word processor. Before long, you know, word processing capability was sitting on everybody's desktop, and we now use things like Word and Excel. Like, you know, if somebody doesn't know how to use it, you look at them like, where have you been? And in much the same way, you know, building a website, designing something now becomes almost a plug and play tool, and you just move forward with that, and you don't need that support base.
Yep.
So then I guess my question goes a little deeper to say, so if we've shifted in the IT capability, let's call it the IT capability, and the IT strategies that we had back then are not as relevant as they are now, what are the questions we should be asking about our IT environment that are now relevant going forward?
I think although it's become a lot simpler, the IT scope is bigger. So it's no longer about our internal organization. I think, you know, traditionally IT was about the internal organization, what we needed as an organization to run our business. IT now extends to our consumers. So we've got social media. We need to have the tools within our business to engage with our consumers over social media. I think, you know, other aspects is human capital management has also become a major aspect of an IT business. Is all of that is handled online. How do we do reviews? How do we reward customers immediately? So by using tools online, it helps us to achieve other business objectives.
Mm. That's a very interesting. So it's not just running my business.
Mm.
It now integrates with customers, with society. Because society is now connected with you like never before. They are the journalists out there. So everything is more integrated, and IT becomes the glue.
100%.
Some way, cement.
And, you know, we look at CRM tools that are available, and there were only a few previously, and now there's just so many web-based CRM tools that are available, and they integrate into Google, for example. So there's no longer an integration that is required between multiple systems. If you're using Google as an email provider, you integrate a CRM solution that supports it, and everything works together. Now, suddenly, I can engage with my potential customers immediately rather than having to do any back-end processes or paperwork. So the automation has become a lot simpler.
Mm. I'm interested. Sorry, Richard, I'm interrupting you, but I'm quite interested in, we can now talk about what IT was like and how it's shifted, and therefore what kind of questions must I ask, you know, in terms of my own IT strategy. I'm concerned about the next 5-10 years. I mean, can you even have this conversation in the next few years? Because IT is just so evolving and so simple, complex, so dynamic. Well, I mean, it's you can't separate it from your business. You can't separate it from yourself, because before you go to bed, you're onto your own IT system in your hand. It is actually frightening for me.
Well, I mean, there's the concept of Moore's Law that says everything, what halves every 2 years, if I remember correctly. So, you know, let's call it the availability or the capacity doubles and the price halves every 2 years is the saying. But I think the reality is that as things accelerate, you need the abilities inside your, let's call it your system, to be able to cope with change that's just inevitable, I guess, in your question there. But for me, I guess the question actually comes down to how do I make sure that it's not about planning for the next 2 years or 5 years, where it's just about being ready for the change, because actually you don't know when the change is going to happen and what's going
and
to
it's
happen.
Constant.
And it's constant. And it's always there. So how do you move? And there was this concept in IT, historically people would talk about the bleeding edge of IT. And I would kind of laugh and I go, well, actually, if you're not on the edge anymore, you're actually behind.
Yes.
You know, there's no longer this. I think there was almost the early adopter kind of thinking of early adopter, and you go through the pain of change. And sometimes when the iPhone does the iOS upgrade, I feel the bleeding edge. But nowadays, by and large, When change happens, it happens, it's adapted and adopted instantaneously. I mean, nowadays, I mean, something as simple as an app on a phone, you know, nobody actually goes, well, I'm doing an iPhone update or a Samsung update this evening. I need to schedule training for tomorrow morning so that I know how to use this. But if you go back, you know, a few years, people would say, well, you can't do a system upgrade until you've trained everybody on how to use it. Well, those are gone. Nowadays, if your systems and capabilities don't lend themselves to intuitive user interface, you can't do it.
Great.
Just moving on.
And I think that's one of the biggest challenges as an IT business is keeping up with the change. And I think we've got to stay relevant all the time and understand. And as big, you know, the cost saving, I suppose, is one of our biggest things, is how do we save cost for businesses through IT? The second thing is in terms, and that comes back to where the strategy is how do we ensure that we can meet business objectives through the IT strategy.
Yeah.
And as the IT changes, do they constantly meet those business objectives? And I think, you know, that's the key thing, is that IT as a strategy cannot exist on its own. It's there and it's developed as a result of what the business objectives are.
And I think that's also, if I can do it in the then and now type of analogy we've been using, back then, IT wasn't necessarily connected with the business strategy because there was just this nice long lead time that allowed you to move between the two and get everything in sync. Now, if you don't get it right, your business strategy actually fails because your IT strategy fundamentally often just, let's call it, anchors your very business strategy. If you don't get your IT strategies right, correct, and your capability, and let's call it your IT capability right, your business strategy will probably fail.
Yep.
Now, can I just jump for a moment into this, and you did allude to it earlier, and I want to reopen the conversation on this piece, is this whole world of where we've moved to around things like telecommunications, social media, and its interaction with the business. I mean, I used to fondly remember people going, we are blocking all social media sites. We are blocking Twitter, Facebook, this new thing called LinkedIn, and this, and you can't go on the internet before, you know, after 8 a.m. and before 5 p.m. It's, the internet is blocked, and, you know, you've got to work here in our business. And I was sitting in a management meeting the other day where somebody made the comment and said, people need access to all of these various things that I've now mentioned to be able to do their jobs, and how that world has changed. So before, if you were on Facebook, you were probably in for a disciplinary. Nowadays, if you're not on Facebook, you're probably going to be disciplined for not doing your job. So that world has changed.
Sure.
Talk to us about what you're seeing in that telecommunications space, social media space, and how that's affecting that strategy.
I think, yeah, it's an old thought of the way in which organizations try to control their employees, and they wanted them to work 100% of the time. And I think, you know, everybody's got their own device. They've got their own phone. If I want to, I can go to Facebook on my phone. So by restricting access on a PC to Facebook, I think limits, you know, people are still going to do what they want to do. But I think, you know, bringing in the aspect of being social and using tools like Facebook, Twitter for business, they've become key to any business. So understanding the information, and I suppose it depends on the type of business, but we work in an environment where we need to understand what is going on around us constantly. So what is trending at the moment? And we've got to push products that are trending at the moment. And for that, Facebook, Twitter are some of our biggest influences. And therefore, we keep that open for all of our employees to use.
Just interesting, though, if you look at the adoption of that element of your, you can't even call it IT, what do you call it, but the social media element as an extension of IT and internet. And it's almost as though the individual adopted that quicker than the business. So you now find a lot of individuals are more influential than businesses on social media. And also because it's been very valuable for, media personalities and people who have a lot of following, like a Gareth Cliff with 1.4 million Twitter followers. But I often find I have many more followers than businesses.
Yes.
And that too could be a potential challenge in terms of your strategy as a business. So if I do happen to have employees who have more influence than I do on social media, how do I pull them into my strategy, my overall IT social media engagement strategy?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is in terms of the social media, it was firstly built for consumer or for users rather than businesses. Mm. And guys like Facebook, Twitter realized there was a big market for businesses.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that's why the adoption's there. But a very good point in terms of bringing in, an employee might have X amount of followers, much more than the business. How do we then get that employee to tweet about our business and grow the business page? And I think that's far more than just IT and the skills that are available or tools available from IT. And I think that goes to, from a business perspective, is the loyalty and how engaged that employee is within their business. And I think once you've got loyal employees, you can use them as part of your IT strategy or your social strategy to then promote your business.
Good point. Going back to our conversation, the Leadership Masterclass, about entrepreneurial leadership. Mm. You have to have an entrepreneurial attitude as a leader inside the big corporate. And therefore, those people should become your friends. Just like you can't alienate anyone. If David comes with a great idea in the business, if I alienate him, he's going to go on his own and become a competitor. But if I'm an entrepreneurial, then I can include you in the whole strategy. Same with IT, same with social media. So if I had to join a lot of businesses now and I could be a great asset to them. I personally would never, but I mean, we've got to consider these things as businesses.
Hmm. Richard. I guess my final question to you is more one of, so if I've got a, let me call it my social media and let me call it communications strategy in my business, how do I now align that with my, let's call it my IT strategy? Because for me, I'm seeing those worlds almost blurring. So, I'm seeing the guys managing my communications in my business, my marketing and communications team, actually becoming almost integral and part of my technology space. It's this world seems to be almost welding together in one space because of the nature of the platforms.
Correct. So, IT supports all of the business units. So it supports marketing, it supports CRM, it supports your HR, your human capital, and as such, so we've got to look at from an IT perspective, what are the tools that we give our business to support social, for example. So, tools like Buffer will give us the ability to post at multiple times when readers are most likely to read it. So those are the tools that IT should be using in conjunction with the marketing team, in terms of reaching consumers on social media. We also look at the automation of tasks. I think automation has become major in businesses. Mm. And it's about how do we incorporate. So if we get a tweet, we don't want that tweet, and it's a good tweet or a bad tweet, we don't want that just to disappear. So we've got to act on that tweet. So how do we bring that tweet into our business and then action a task on it? And that comes from workflow management, is how do we pick up that tweet as a trigger and then action the applicable action for it?
Hmm. Now, I guess just in closing, I mean, the one thing that strikes me about IT in any business is just how ingrained it becomes in every part of your business. And then the question is, well, I'm focusing on all the different aspects of the business. How do I make sure that I'm thinking about all the right stuff in my IT world? Or do I deal with IT almost as an exception, or kind of if it comes up I deal with it? How relevant is IT and particular IT strategy still as a, let's call it, a standalone discipline, or does it now become the underpin? I mean, I guess in a way, something like finance and HR and many of the other, let's call them what was traditionally called the core disciplines, actually now become, let's call it cross-functional across a business line, because everywhere your numbers are in play, everywhere your people are in play. So it's less about those strategies and more about, so how do you execute in the different, let's call it silos, yeah, of your business.
So IT no longer can remain as a silo within the business. It underpins all of the functions of the business. Your IT strategy is determined, or is determined by your business objectives. But I think the key thing is that a lot of the time that businesses get stuck because of their IT capacity or the capabilities. Yeah. And I think that's
the past.
That's it. So, and it even happens now. And I think the problem there is that the objectives are not clearly communicated to IT. Mm. And IT hasn't got the time to plan. So IT always, you know, comes afterwards to make sure that the necessary capacity is in place, or capabilities are in place. And I think that's where the problem lies. And sometimes businesses hold on that is they make their business decisions based on the IT capabilities. And I think that's the incorrect thing to do. And we've got to make sure that we adapt our IT and our IT capabilities within the organization are flexible enough to adapt to changing business.
So what you're suggesting is a key part of, let's call it IT strategy, is to be business-led rather than, let's call it IT-led or
correct,
or let's call it technology-led.
But not easy. And how does this bode for the IT expert? I mean, it feels like, an IT person, I can't just be an IT person anymore. HR, you kind of get a feeling, okay, HR must understand business. Sure, they say we must become consultants to the business. But IT, so what kind of person must you be? You can't be a 23-year-old who's got your IT degree coming to the business. And maybe several years back, you could then advise even the CEO on IT issues.
Sure.
But now it's different.
It is. It's very different. And your IT, you know, if you look at your CTOs, your CIOs, they are more business-orientated people. They've got more experience understanding business and not specifically IT. And that's what then helps drive that business in terms of the synergies between IT and business.
Your final piece of advice to, if you want to, you can package it for the big business, the CEO listening, or the general manager, and the small business, or choose. I mean, maybe more so the small business. We're now going to a conversation with Old School, which is a fascinating business. We'll ask them about their IT, but it's Bobby Skinstad, Bob Skinstad's business that seems to be booming. But for the SME, what advice would you give these people? Because they usually have an outsourced IT, don't they?
I think that is what I enjoy doing is working with the SMEs and developing the IT infrastructure, as you so call it. And I think to them, you know, IT is not so scary as we said. IT is easy. Yes, you can seek advice, but there's a lot of things that you can achieve by yourself as well. So in terms of cutting costs when launching a startup or an SME, there's a lot of things that you can achieve. There are many businesses as well that, you know, sort of some businesses will look at developing custom applications, for example. I think there's a lot of web applications that are available which make it cheaper for us to do business. So when looking for an IT partner, look for a partner who's relevant, who understands what's going in the market, that are using new tools and that are not still sitting in the past in terms of developing custom applications.
I guess if we had time, I would say, okay, what kind of questions do I ask when I interview for my IT expert? But maybe we'll bring that out later. All right, thank you so much, David.
Thank you, David.
We're now going to go into a practical conversation with Old School Group, the CEO and the MD, Gerardi Oudendal, and MD Sue Anderson. And as I said, it's a very interesting business, this. In an economy, declining economy, they seem to be booming. And it may have something to do with their founder, Bob Skinstad, who is not just a forward rugby player, but a man with a brain and charisma. Mm. So we're going to engage them about their business. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.